Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you are sitting back going, who's that stranger up there? But hey, it is great to be back. Look, hey, look around somebody, give them a wave, a smile that says, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. And like I say, either that or you can look and say, hey, you look goofy, but you don't know that I'm laughing at you at this particular point. And don't leave out the choir. Give them a wave because they get to look at you guys. And everybody smile because I watched y'all on TV yesterday or last week. We need smiles. So yeah, that way the world's looking at you. If you're part of our online audience, we thank you for joining us today as well. We appreciate you. And if you're part of the online audience, you're not going to get away from the greeting either. We have our very own Dr. John Cazito over here, one of my favorite guys in the whole wide world. Be sure to tell him hello through the online services that you are watching on. And we are tickled to death to have you with us today as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our services today. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful that you do give us this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you will help us not to take for granted the opportunities and the moments that we have to be able to come together to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would help us at this particular moment to put aside the things of the day. Lord, we know there are many, many things going on. There are things that we have to do yet, even on this very day. But Father, for these moments, I pray that as we've entered into your sanctuary, that we will keep any outside distractions away. We know Satan's going to try to distract us in so many ways that we might not be able to hear of your word. So Lord, help us to be careful and attentive to the Spirit's movement in our hearts and lives today. And Lord, we will praise you for it. Lord, as always, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today truly would be the day that there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven. And then, Lord, move each and every one of us close to you. Help us to leave this place differently than we came in. Lord, help draw us close to you in these very moments and help us to concentrate and purpose to hear you today. And Lord, in all that we do is we worship you through song, Lord, through the offering, through all the acts of worship that we do today. Lord, help us not to go mechanically through them, Father, but rather that we might view them as acts of worship in your presence. So bless this time, change hearts and lives, as Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. All hail the power of Jesus' name. 202.
Oh,
Please turn with me to 406, The Solid Rock.
Today we're going to be looking at some passages that are going to come out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with me to Ephesians chapter 6. As I took these last couple of weeks on vacation, I did a few experiments and learned some things. You know, for the first week that I was gone, I decided that instead of going to the service we usually go to, I was going to watch it. I was going to see what's going on back home, have that perspective from home. And like I said, there are a lot of things I learned. Okay, number one, smile. Choir especially, people, they're watching you. You smile. Look like you're enjoying life and enjoying the worship. But the other thing was simply this. Let me tell you what I learned. I learned that I can't hug my TV and have the same effect as hugging one of you guys. I've learned that I can't shake the hand of the television and have the same warmth and smile as when you're here. So I've said basically this, and I know a lot of people will sit back and say, well, yeah, I watched it online, and that's great. If you are providentially hindered or you can't do that, or maybe if you watch it later on or something, that's great. There is nothing like coming together with God's people. So I want to encourage you, be in the house of the Lord with your brothers and sisters in Christ as often as you can. Now, the second Sunday that I was down there, I didn't attend the worship service there, and I didn't watch here either. And y'all are going, look at that sinner. You telling all of us people to do that. But I want to tell you about how God in His providence works, though. You see, there's some people we've been camping with for a long time that lady had never followed in baptism. So I was going to be doing a baptism down there at the ocean for her. Well, then a couple of other folks showed up, and the Spirit moved. They, too, had not been baptized. So last Sunday, we baptized three. While y'all were here in service, we had a baptismal service out on the beach. And it happened to be that two of those three baptisms happened to be Sandra Ennerber's daughter and son-in-law. So they came by to visit and wound up, they understand baptism is not salvation, it's an act of obedience following the Lord, but I have pictures. It was a great time last Sunday. So I considered myself a missionary to the coastline from Central Baptist Church, and I really enjoyed watching all the things that the shenanigans that took place just a little ways up the road here at Camp Carefree during the week of the 4th of July. How many of y'all served at Carefree? God bless you. Your life will never be the same in a good way, I guess. That's the way to look at it. I found out we have celebrities with us, you know, from the little videos. You know, we have our Dolly Parton look-alike back here. And hey, listen, just because the pastor's gone don't mean he's gone. He knows what's going on back home. But at any rate, it's been a wonderful time of seeing God do some incredible things and to be a part of some of those divine appointments. Now, one of the things that as I prayed over and thought about, you know, coming back, it's great. Trust me, I want to tell you, it's great to be back where God places you. It's great for me to be back in the pulpit. And I was thinking about the times when people have trusted the Lord. Yeah, think about back to the time when you first trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. There was so much excitement. There were so many things that were taking place. There were so many things that were going on. And then there were folks maybe that you've served the Lord for a long time, but there were some new commitments that you made to Him. Maybe it's, you know, I want to walk closer to you, Lord. I want my devotional life to be better. I want to get involved in some level on missions, whether it's here or abroad or wherever it may be. But you have got some new commitments to Christ that you've made here recently. You know, some of you are sitting back going, you know, my devotional life, well, it's not been that good. You've heard me say before that I've had people who've come to me and they say, preacher, my life is just not going in the right way. And the first question that I always ask, how's your devotional life? And be honest with me. Sometimes they'll say, oh, it's pretty good. And then my next question is, did you just lie to me? And usually it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's pretty much in the toilet. You know, people all the time sitting there going, Lord, give me answers. He's giving you a whole book full of answers. I promise you. There is such thing as the living word of God. That's it. The Spirit moves in and through it and through each and every one of us. But what happens is, you remember back to that time when you first trusted Christ, and then what happened was there was the excitement that was going on, the devotional life was good. Most of us can at least remember a point like that in our life, and things were, they seemed to be going well, and you began to mature. That's a big word today. You began to mature in your faith. All of a sudden, you began to view things differently, not because somebody told you, not because a church said you ought not do this, not because mama or daddy said you ought not do this. It's because the Holy Spirit said you ought not do this. I love it when I've had people come and they say, why is it that I view things differently now than I did back then? And I giggle because I'll say, well, you know what? That's a mark of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is a mark of spiritual maturity, because you can tell people things. You know how it is. Mom and daddy used to tell you things, and sometimes you would do it just to spite them. Amen? Somebody else tells you to do something, and you're like, well, I'll show them. I'll just keep on doing this or whatever else. The only decision that lasts is the one that you make. When you decide, I'm going to follow the Lord. When you decide that it is important. When you decide, I'm going to not partake in something that the Word of God calls sin. Now, when those marks of maturity begin in the life of a believer, something happens. And here's what it is. Somebody doesn't like that. Plain and simple. You have an enemy who frowns on your spiritual progress. You have an enemy that does not want to see you mature beyond. Listen, you may have trusted the Lord, and old Satan says, okay, well, you've trusted the Lord, but as long as you're not active for Him, I might even leave you alone over here. But you start getting actively involved in things that the Lord wants you involved in, and all of a sudden the melee begins, right? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It seems like the harder you try to please Jesus, the harder things get in life. That's a little bit contradictory to a modern-day philosophy that says if you just trust Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Yeah, your problems are going to go away. No, in fact, you're probably going to have more of them. Jesus never hid any of what it was like to follow him from his disciples or anybody else. It is going to be difficult for you to follow Jesus in this day and age, plain and simple. The enemy's purpose is to hinder you on your road to higher ground. Now, some of you are out there and you may be thinking, well, not me. I don't do a whole lot. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a musician. I'm not a choir member. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. Let me make you a promise. The enemy is after you if you're a believer. I don't care if you're a door opener. I don't care if you went. Listen, he really don't like mission work. He don't like that. He don't like that. I guarantee if I sit back and talk to some of y'all that were up at Caraway, you had 1,000 problems that y'all had to get through last week in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Some might have been big problems. Some might not have been big problems. But you had problems that and Satan and his little henchmen were trying to stop you or slow you down. Or, listen, if they couldn't do that, here's one of the things Satan loves to do. He loves to give you a bad attitude. How many of y'all have ever had a bad attitude? The rest of y'all need to repent. Because we have all been there. Every last one of us. You know, even in the midst of doing your Jesus work, you're like, well, two, one, drunk. That cook over there just irritated me. They took my serving spoon away from me and moved my rubber gloves. Now, I know as silly as that sounds, those kind of things happen. Satan loves to just get in there and be that burr under the saddle. He loves to get God's people at odds with one another to hinder the work. See, we might be doing, listen, we could even be doing things good in the name of Jesus, but if we're doing them for the wrong reasons, then it can be horrible. Remember, I love it what the Lord told in one of the biblical passages where a sacrifice was brought forward and the Lord said, leave your sacrifice at the altar and go make amends with your brother and then come back. Offer it then. By the way, he didn't tell him to pick it back up. He said, leave it here. You know why? Because chances are they wouldn't bring it back. He said, leave it here. Go make amends with your brother, then come back. Then it will be an acceptable sign. You could be doing all the right things, but if the attitude gets in the way and you're allowing Satan's henchmen to do you in, you're not getting blessed out of that. Now, I know this. If I'm going to the lengths to serve Jesus, I want to be a blessing, but I also want to be blessed in the midst of it. Yeah, there's some pretty tough stuff. We can be at times, it would have been easy, Jim, for us in Texas when it was hotter than the hinges of Hades down there, you know, and the shower trailer, Jim knows what I'm talking about. We can just, I'm just going to walk away. Would have been easy to have done that. Then Satan would have won. Now I know you're sitting there going, what biblical passage is this coming to? I'm getting there, I promise. There is a scripture. I'm not just a skyscraper preacher, story after story after story. But if you follow Jesus, somebody is not going to like it. Satan's going to give you 10,000 reasons why not to get involved in his work. All you need is one reason to get involved. And that's because he asked you to. That's good enough. If the Lord says it, that's good enough. That settles it. So what do we need to do? How do we need to face him? Here comes the scripture text. Remember, I told you we had one when I started here about 10 minutes ago. The scripture text is Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that these words would permeate our heart today. Lord, your word and the gospel in and of itself don't need my help. It speaks. Father, your Spirit is here. It is among us. I pray that we will diligently listen to seek the Spirit's movement in our hearts and lives today, that we might be drawn closer to you. Lord, I pray that we will be encouraged along the journey, and we ask for strength for the journey. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would use me as your messenger for these few moments, that you truly would be lifted up, that you truly would be exalted today, and that you truly might draw all men and women unto you. As Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting that when we look at this passage speaks to us about the fact that there truly is an adversary. You have an enemy. As a believer, Satan is against you. Now, I can't tell you how many times in all of my ministry people say, well, I'm just a little insignificant speck. I am one grain of sand on the ocean. It doesn't matter. If you are a born-again believer and following Jesus, Satan can't stand you. He is going to try everything that he can to discredit your testimony. He is going to try everything that he can to hinder you from being a servant for the Most High God. And most of you out there have come into encounters with that before. Lots of times you've been victorious, and there have been a few times that you have failed. And I will promise you that the times that you have failed have stood out in people's hearts and lives more than all of the victories that you've ever had. Amen? You know what it says? You can do everything in this world right, but you mess up one time, and that's what you'll be remembered for. That's the way it goes. There is an adversary. Today, I want to encourage us to be strong. It is going to require all of God's people to be stronger in this day and age than they have ever been before in their life. Be strong and courageous. The word tells us to do that, and it says put on the whole armor of God. And in these passages, it gave us the whole armor of God. You've heard me talk about spiritual streakers before. Y'all know what that is. Most of y'all came through the 70s or have at least heard about it. If not, you've heard of Ray Stevens' album, and you know what we're talking about. What is a spiritual streaker? It's the one that's got the helmet of salvation, but nothing else to protect them. Where is the breastplate of righteousness? By the way, there's only one offensive weapon. You've heard this from Bible school all the way down. There's one offensive weapon, and that is the sword. And what is the sword? So how do we defend ourselves? With the sword. This is it. This is your defense, and it's all you need. Listen, they're gonna come after you. They're going to discredit you. They're going to laugh at you. You better get some tough skin. I like tough skin people. Particularly, you don't see too many of them today. I like the ones that are willing to stand up and be counted for what they believe. It's like the old song says, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. It is time for God's people to stand up, to be strong, to put on the whole armor of God. And it says that we might withstand the wiles of the devil. You know what that means? That means he's coming after you. That means he's going to come after you. You don't know what today's going to hold. You don't know what fiery darts are going to come your way this day. So you always have to be ready and prepared. I thought this morning as I was on my way here, it's hot. Now, I know some of y'all in here say, not in here. Well, if you think it's cool in here, bring a drink and hold it and give it to me afterwards, because I'll take a cold drink on the way out. But it's hot. And let me tell you something that I recall, because when I walked out the door today, it's kind of that like smothering hot. Y'all with me? And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the days of being back at the police department. The joy on a day like today of putting on a t-shirt, then putting on a ballistic vest, then putting on one of those glorious polyester uniforms with a tie. Woo! You talk about hot? I mean, you had to change clothes two or three times a day because you would sweat through all that stuff. And I kept thinking, why do I'd sit down in my patrol car and this would waft out a little bit. It was like a chimney. It was like a smoker going on. You could feel the heat coming out. And I thought, I don't want to do that. And I can still remember my commander saying, you'll be glad you did. Somebody shoot you. You say, why do you do that? To be prepared. Folks, we got to have on the full armor of God to be prepared to go into battle at every time, because Satan's not going to come at you just head on. He wants to sneak up behind you. He wants to ambush you. He wants to trip you up. He will sucker punch you. Are you ready for it? Do you have on the full armor of God? And when it talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that means there's a contest. That means there's some hand-to-hand combat, and yes, you're included in it. Get in the fight. One of the things that I always knew was that in my days when I had to fight a little bit more for a living in downtown Lynchburg, nobody wanted a coward around. Because it wasn't a matter of if it was going to happen, it was when, and it was very often. But you wanted to know that the person that was standing with you was going to be with you and not leave you. There were certain people that I couldn't count on. There were certain people that I knew that when it got busy, they went the other direction. But let me tell you, thanks be to God, there were certain people that I knew that no matter how deep it was and no matter how wide it was, they were going to be right there, shoulder to shoulder, win, lose, or draw. You see, those are the people that you need to be standing shoulder to shoulder with. And oh, by the way, you're going to be standing shoulder to shoulder counting on them. Can they count on you? Can they count on you to be there when the chips are down, when it gets crazy, when it gets completely out of your comfort zone? Can you be counted on? Let me tell you something. If Satan knows that all he's got to do is put you in a particular place to shut you down, he's going to put you in a particular place and he's going to shut you down. I've heard people through my home ministry, well, I just don't like that guy. I said, well, you don't have to like him. You have to love them. Word says, well, they're like, well, that's my enemy. I said, Bible says you got to pray for your enemies. Well, I'm not doing it. Let me step aside so the lightning bolt don't catch me. God's commands aren't suggestions. They're commands. And by the way, the person that you hurt is you when it comes down to these type things. Listen, you need a team to go after an adversary. And when you have a team, sometimes you don't even have to go to combat. It's one of the craziest things I ever saw. I got trained by a guy that was noted for training riot police. Matter of fact, if some of y'all can remember years ago, the Virginia Beach, he had videos and everything, and they trained us. And he said, I'm going to whip you boys into shape. And he said, when they see you getting off the bus, they ain't going to want nothing to do with you. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, right. So he was pointing out the differences in the video. He said, you need to look good. That's number one. You need to look like you know what you're doing. And he said, to look like you know what you're doing, you got to know what you're doing. He said, then you got to be willing and ready to deploy what needs to be deployed to get the job done. And I'm going to show you how to do that, even when you're outnumbered. And I still remember, I thought some of the stuff was silly. I was not one of those lucky people. I didn't get to roam around behind the front line. I was a front line guy. You know what that meant? That meant I had a shield and my helmet and my gas mask and all that stuff and my baton. And he said, now, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show y'all how to get off the bus. I'm like, that should be easy. Oh, no, no, that's not how you got off the bus. You got off the bus and got in that formation. He said, now every time, he said, you guys get spread out, arms length apart. And he said, this is before you come into contact. He said, you start walking, but he said, you will walk in step. And every time your left foot comes down, you will take that PL-259 and you will hit the side of that shield. And he said, and when you do that and you start down the street, he said, it will sound like thunder when you walk down the street. He showed us video. He said, look, he said, these guys over here weren't organized at all. He said, look what happened. They got into a melee. He said, look what happened when these guys got off. He said, oh, looky here. He said, looks like they know what they're doing. We're going to get on out of here. We're going to move on down the highway. I thought that was the silliest thing in the world until I actually saw it happen. I was with them when the Rodney King riots were taking place and everything else. We got off that bus and we started down that main street, and it sounded like thunder coming down that main street. Most of them left. But he said this, not all of them are going to leave. Don't count on that. There will be combat. And there was. He said, but you do your job. You do it right, you will come out on top. We took on thousands of people as a group of about 25 and won. He says, find a troublemaker. Get him out of there, first thing. Boy, are you seeing the spiritual application on all these things? It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The contest is not this way. The contest is with that evil one. Your battle is not with your brother. Your battle is with Satan. You know why you don't like him? Because Satan don't want you to like him. You know why you don't like her? Because Satan don't want you to like her. You know why you're at odds? Because Satan wants you at odds. You know why you don't want to forgive? Because Satan doesn't want you to forgive. And when you don't do the things God's called you to do, he will not bless you in that regard. You will not go forward in that regard, and you will not see incredible things by his hand. Folks, life is too short. People said, you got any enemies? I said, no, I got a lot of people don't like me, but I said, I can't say I have a lot of enemies. I took that love them to death. That'll irritate your enemy more than anything is when you love them. I mean, for real, don't pull that fake stuff now. You can read right through that. But when you genuinely, hey, brother, I'm praying. Don't pray. Don't you pray for me, preacher. Well, I'm going to anyway. Can't stop me from doing that. God is going to move. Listen, he's going to move with you or without you. But the last thing I want to do is see God move without me. I want to be with him. How about you? I'm going to get on this gravy train. Lord, show me some stuff. There are divine appointments everywhere. There is an adversary. The reality is that Satan exists, although some people say he doesn't exist and neither does God. And they've fallen right in to a trap of the devil. The Bible speaks of him and speaks against him. You know, his purpose is your destruction. He is out. He is seeking to destroy you. Are you hearing me? I want you to listen to something very, very carefully today. Satan is trying to destroy you. Did you hear my words? Don't cozy up with him. Don't get to the point where, because listen, the word tells us that Satan often presents himself as an angel of light, a good guy. And then what happens is all of a sudden you start trusting him and going, well, he's not a bad guy. Right about the time that he puts a knife right through your heart, through your back while you're not looking. It is a battle. It is a spiritual battle. And the first way to be able to understand what's going on is to understand that there is an adversary and there is a battle, and it includes you on every level. Your thought level, your activity level, your worship level, your devotion level, your relationships with one another. There is no accident that you and I are in this place today. None. Now, I guarantee you that in a room this size with this many people in it, there's aught somewhere. Don't like him, don't like her, don't like this, don't like that. Listen, folks, that is a tool of Satan trying to pick right through your skin. That's it. You know what I love about missions? We'll go on a mission trip and we will never ask the person beside us what their political beliefs are. We will not ask them whether or not they're a conservative or a liberal. We'll just dig a hole together. We'll just shovel mud out of somebody's house. We will love on somebody else that we don't even know in the name of the Lord. And we won't ask anything about these people right here except that we love them and we'll work to death with them for the cause of Christ. What happened to those days? Satan likes to destroy us. He likes to destroy our relationships. He likes to tear people down. By the way, if you ever put people up on a pedestal, eventually it's going to crumble. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to be disappointed. The only person in this world who will not let you down is Jesus. The only perfect one in this world is Jesus. You want to count on man? Listen, be ready to be disappointed. See, people mess up, don't they? Where are all my perfect people in here? You better watch out. There's cameras. All my perfect people. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We've got imperfect people in Central Baptist Church today. In fact, the count says 100% of imperfect people are present today. Lord, help us all. That's the way it's supposed to be. And we're supposed to love one another, that the enemy might not get a foothold. And to do that, we've got to be dressed for battle according to these scriptures. There is an enemy. But who are the associates in this battle? Down there in verse 10, I like what it says. In verse 10, it says, finally, brethren. So who else is there with you? Finally, who? Brethren. Who are the brethren? Me, you, brothers and sisters, finally, look, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not yours, not your power, not your might. Man, I used to love it when I was in a situation and I was outnumbered and all of a sudden I saw Du Bois coming. Because they didn't have to say it, but you know what what was going on? They're like, yeah, I tell you what, if you're going to get to him, you're going to have to take on all of us. You're taking one of us, you got us all. And I got a whole belt full of stuff right here that says you're going to lose. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. You got one offensive weapon. Get in the fight. You hear me? Get in the fight. Love one another. You know why I believe one of the biggest reasons why churches don't go forward today is because we're too busy fighting one another inside the church house that we can't get outside the church house with the gospel message. I believe that's a society problem. No, none of us are perfect. We're all a little bit weird, but that's what makes the spice of life is a little bit of variety. We all do things differently, but you have associates in the battle. That's why I like being here with y'all today. You don't have to like me. You have to love me. You got to fight with me. You got to fight for me. Because guess what's going to happen? I'm going to fight for you. Whether you like me or not, I'm going to be scrapping in that fight with you. Because I'm going to love you to Jesus. That's the way brothers are. Y'all have seen that old expression before. Two brothers will just beat the fool out of each other. But you let somebody else try to step in there, and you're going to have to take on two brothers, aren't you? It's family. It's what we are. We're family. So we have associates. Finally, brethren, you are not in this battle alone. Others have faced the same foe that you have before. Some still do. At salvation, you were born into this fighting fellowship. Now, I want to categorize that, Mark. You are born into a fighting fellowship, but we just have to make sure we're fighting the right enemy, right? We need to make sure we're fighting the enemy, not a brother. That's what we got to do. Let us be sure that we fight the foe and not one another. Let us learn to help in this battle with the adversary. Is another Christian struggling with temptation in your midst? Is a brother or sister discouraged in your midst? Yeah, is a fellow Christian passing through difficulties along the way? Listen, step in there and walk with them. Walk beside them. Take some of that burden off. Take some of that load off. Because I will promise you that when you're on the receiving end of that, you will understand the value of being on the giving end of that. You know what I really enjoy? I really enjoy having to have a stern talk with people in this church about the fact that they need to become a little bit more of a receiving person. Because most of the people I know in here, all of y'all are givers. And most givers don't know how to be receivers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I've told somebody, even sitting in this room, said, look, don't rob somebody else of a blessing. Let them help you. Let them be there for you. Let them get in the fight with you. Man, if I'm going to get in a spiritual fight, you can bet I'm going to call Don. He's ornery enough. He's liable to talk them down. I'm going to call Kirk. I'm going to call David. I'm going to call all my guys. I'm going to call Fred. And I'm going to say, guys, look, fight's coming. And here's a really cool part. You know what Fred's going to say? Let's get it. The cancer's coming. Come on, Fred. Let's go. Let's go, buddy. Let's go whip this thing. We'll fight the discouragement away. Tough time in life. Look, guys, let's do this together. Let's fight the enemy together. I will promise you, you will scare Satan to death if Central Baptist Church stands up, unifies, and Satan can't get anywhere near this property. He will run. He'll run down to Stokesdale or Kernersville or Summerfield. He's already living in Greensboro, so he's already making that journey up this way. We need to rush to the aid of those who walk in conflict and quit acting perfect. None of us in here are perfect. We are all struggling with something or some things. Quit trying to hide it. But listen, also, when that brother or sister is transparent with you, you don't go behind their back and talk about them. You go support them. It's not a topic of conversation. I've said before, it's ironic how many things we will share as a prayer request that's really an item of gossip. Here's my 42-paragraph prayer request. No. We don't need to do that. Pray for them. But then this passage also talks to us about the available resources for this particular battle. It says, be strong. You might feel weak, but you can draw on God's strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you're drawing on the Lord in the power of His might, then whose are you not drawing on? Myself. Be strong. Rely on His power and His might, and He will protect you. I've always liked that old scenario that I've thought in my heart and my life before. I mean, I can't tell you how many Goliaths that I have faced in my life. And I had to buck up to the 9-foot-9-inch giant and say, no. You want to fight? Come on. And then I don't have any idea why the Goliath ran away, only to later realize that there's God behind me going, that's what it is. It's not because of who I am, but because of who He is. You want to win the battle, then you make sure He's fighting the battle for you. When the doorbell rings, look through the peephole, and if it's Satan, tell God the door's for him. And go sit down. He will handle it for you. You have resources available. The power of the Holy Spirit is within each and every believer. I still remember talking to a guy one time, and he's like, I keep getting into this thing, and I don't understand why the good Lord's not helping me in this particular battle. And we shared a little bit. He told me a little bit about what was going on. And I said, well, I think I have the answer to your problem. And he said, well, I sure would like to hear it. I said, if you keep running into this temptation going down this street, don't go down that street. Duh. That's a real simple solution, isn't it? I still remember him. He said, well, I never thought about it that way. Listen, man, if the bully's waiting for you in the alley, don't go down the alley. Go down to the next block and go that way. You know what's so hilarious about that? I used that illustration, and the guy came back a week later. He said, I went to the next street, and all was right with the world. I said, sometimes God just shows you a way around the issue. Sometimes you'll have to go to battle. Sometimes you don't. But listen to what the Spirit has to say to you. The Holy Spirit kept me alive numerous times. I've known that. I said, as a police officer, there were times that everything would be going just like normal, and it was just kind of like, I don't think I would do that. The tension. How many of y'all have had the tension? You know what I'm talking about? The tension. You know, I'm going to rename the tension. The tension is the Holy Spirit. But pay attention to the tension. If it don't feel right, some people call it the sixth sense. Holy Spirit, listen to the Spirit. I saved my life, literally my life, more than one time. Something don't seem right about that. That's because it's not. And I didn't know it any other way than the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why I'm standing before you today. I believe that with all my heart. Listen to the Spirit. All of us have that. That is a resource that you and I have. Think about the power of prayer that is available to all. Yeah, you keep hearing it. You know, when you talk about prayer, prayer is not something that you do in the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. Man, you're a great praying bunch, and we've seen God do some incredible things through those prayers. How about the power of the Word of God? The Word of God doesn't need to be decorated with frills and everything else. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and it will be forever. I don't care what you set the lights on. I don't care how much smoke you blow or don't blow into a sanctuary. I don't care what kind of music you have. The Word of God still remains. And that should be what is utmost importance in this society today. It should be. It's not. The power is in the Word, not the person bringing the Word. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is what saves you. I love being a part of that. Let me tell you something. Last Sunday, I was having so much fun timing waves so I didn't have to put people too far under. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptized at the ocean. The Ethiopian eunuch said, here's water. What's stopping us? Guys, why don't we have as much fun serving Jesus as we used to have? I guarantee y'all had fun up the camp. Y'all probably learned more about each other on mission work and loved one another. And I'm sure you irritated one another too. Or Don did. I know he did. He's irritated some people. But you love him. He's our teddy bear. And he's going to be in your corner. Sometimes you get tired in the ministry. Sometimes your temper gets a little short. But hey, remember whose side you're on, and remember who you're fighting with and not against. In the name of the Lord. There is power in the blood. That is the only power to save your soul, is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach that till the day I die. There is no other way. Well, preacher, I believe there are other ways to heaven. I'm like, well, you're wrong. If you want to be wrong, go ahead. But someday you will realize that only the blood of Jesus will save you. Plain and simple. There's power in a conquering Savior. I've read the end of the book. Have you? We win. We've already won. I'm just a stranger and an alien passing through this life because heaven's my home. So I'm going to enjoy the amenities here till I get to the grand poovah amenities in the place called heaven, in the place he has prepared for me. Plain and simple. Let me kind of bring this to a conclusion. You are born to win. You're born to win. You do not have to be defeated in the battle. But let me tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to make use of our resources, and we are going to have to keep growing. We are going to have to keep maturing. Can we do that? You know, God has blessed us a lot at Central Baptist Church. Amen? But let me tell you what it's not about. It is not about this building. It's not about this property. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about the residents that live in this community. It's about those kids that were at camp up there. It's about us loving one another. Take all this stuff away. I don't care. You and me are still together to fight this battle. Don't get me wrong, I like air conditioning, but I have preached in 90-plus degree weather and hot, humid heat in Cuba. I look kind of like I look now. I'm changing color. Look like a chameleon. I don't care. There's water. I'll get water. I'll hydrate when it's over. It's like an athletic contest. I'd be a water bottle up here before long. You never know. But let's do it together. Remember how much fun y'all had on the mission trip up here? We can do that here. But we got to do it together. I want to see that happen. Because I believe when we do, I still believe that God is like right here and wanting to do something incredible again in our midst. But we got to count on him. It's all because of him and not because of us. We got to understand that we're going to do it together. I'm going to ask our musicians to go on and take their places, because you know what? Why is it that we preach the gospel? Why is it that we do what we do? Is it because we don't have anything better to do? Is it just because that's what you do on a Sunday? No, no. Today is about the gospel message, the saving grace of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. And do you trust him? And for those who have trusted him, today is about strength for the journey and the battle. It's about being able to come together and lock arms shoulder to shoulder and side by side and go get it. Go get it done. I always love it when the cavalry shows up, don't you? Oh, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. It's always wonderful when we put our foot there. And you know what? Sometimes I've heard people say, you know what? I don't even know what I can do, but I can be there. And I said, that's what you can do. Because God will, I've shared this before. I have looked at some of our mission teams that have gone to Cuba over the past 20 years and thought, boy, this is a rough squadron. I've looked at them and said, Lord, what are you going to do with each of these people? And ironically enough, every single one of them in less than a week's time found their reason that God called them to go, found their niche, was used in an incredible way in the lives of those people, and were blessed in an incredible way in return. I just shake my head. I'm like, okay. I've had people come to me before and say, you know what, I feel like the Lord's leading me to go on this trip, but I can't do this and can't do that. And I'm like, what can you do? And they're like, I don't know. I said, sign up. Sign up. Well, what am I going to do? I said, we'll figure it out. I said, you'll figure it out when you get there. I know that sounds weird. Listen, do you realize you've had teams go on mission trips that have left on a plane and got to Miami and still didn't have visas to get into a communist country? But we were going on faith. But guess what? Before we got on the plane to Miami, the visas were secured when we got there. People said to me, well, how far do we go? I said, as far as we can. I said, if we get turned around in Miami, we get turned around in Miami, but we're going to be knocking on the door. And the cool part was doing it together. I love serving with you guys. I love looking at those pictures. Man, that's part of what made my vacation was being able to look and see those pictures and videos. By the way, I'm the one that has to approve them for our private site, so you know I saw them. I'd look for them every day. Y'all had way too much fun. Ready to do it again? That's what serving the Lord's about. You got to rest. We'll give you a week to rest because I know you get tired, do it. But man, you're ready to go again. It is time for us ragtag bunch of people to come together and create the greatest team God ever assembled in Oak Ridge. And you're like, well, what can I do? Well, I don't know. What do you do? I don't know. Well, that's good. Then you're exactly the person we need. I love it. I still remember looking at something that somebody took to Cuba, and I'm like, this ain't going to fly. They ain't going to want that. They're not going to need that. That was exactly what they needed. On the way going to a place, a couple of suitcases full of baseball equipment. We're on the way to a place, and all of a sudden the guy's like, oh, look, a ball game. We pulled over. We're like, can we play? Bunch of Americans versus Cubans. By the way, we won. They're out there just, I mean, all the stuff. I was like, and I looked over at the guy who brought it, and all of a sudden you see him coming out of the van with a couple of suitcases full of, he walks up to the pitcher's mound, drops the suitcases, opens them up, and it was like Christmas. Baseball gloves, baseballs, bats, catcher's equipment, stuff they had never seen before. It was crazy. We played ball. Then we got together. We took them to church where they heard the gospel, and many of them trusted Christ. Because some guy brought a suitcase full of baseballs and bats and equipment. That's how God works. When you make yourself available and when you work together. You see, this guy wasn't going to necessarily preach the sermon. I wasn't necessarily going to bring the stuff, but when he put us together, the stuff was there, the people were there, the message was there, the salvations were there when we worked together. We need each other, and it's going to be a great, great journey. I enjoyed the last 2 weeks of vacation, but I will tell you right now that God has something. It's coming quick on this side for each and every one of us if we will embrace it and if we will accept it. It's all about the kingdom. So I'm asking you today, have you trusted in Christ? That is the most important question you will ever answer in your life. Have you accepted him as your Savior? Now, if you said yes, I'm going to go a little bit further because this is 2024. What does that mean? Did that mean that you filled out a card or that you just talked to a preacher or whatever? You had a warm, fuzzy feeling around a campfire? That's not salvation. Salvation is a relationship, an ongoing relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. Not just checking off the boxes on the card. Have you done that? Have you had that relationship with him? Yeah, even what I found out this past week, have you been obedient? Because, you know, a lot of these folks, the lady that I baptized down at the beach said, she said, I trusted Christ when I was like 5 years old, but I didn't understand baptism. She had one of them old-time preachers that said, next Sunday, you getting baptized. Y'all had them. Y'all probably had them preachers. I did too. Well, baptism's next thing. Bring shorts next week. That's the way it goes. She's like, I didn't understand it. She said, I got wet when I was five, but you know, last week, she got baptized, not wet. Listen, is that you? Listen, if you can't even be obedient to the Father amidst friends, what's it going to look like when you step out into the world? We got a baptistry. We'll fill it up, man. We'll fill it up next week. We got no problem with that. I would say tonight, but it probably wouldn't be warm enough tonight. We'd freeze to death. But you want to go to the coast? Hey, we'll take a trip down to the coast. I'll baptize you there. No problem. I'll ride with you down to the beach. Pond, whatever it is, where water is. Have you been obedient to the Master? First of all, do you know him? Have you followed him in obedience? That is the most, make sure that's right before you leave here today. If not, then I'm just saying, look, prayer is a way to be in contact with the Father, and the prayer that he's going to hear from the unbeliever is the prayer of repentance. Cry out to him today. And if that's you, I'm not telling you got to come down here and talk to me, but I am saying that you can pray and say, Father, look, today I realize I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will make you a promise that if you met that with all your heart, you began the relationship. It was the handshake. You know, I'd be like, David, God, David. Shake hands. Y'all get to know each other. Oh, how do you do that? You talk to one another. What do we call that? You read his autobiography and his biography. It's called his word. It's all right there. Get to know him. Stalk him. I promise he'll dig it. Maybe you're here today and everything has just been par for the course. Business as usual. God never called us to business as usual. Maybe there's some people we need to forgive. Maybe there's some things that we need to do. But the bottom line is we can also wind up hindering the Holy Spirit from being what the Holy Spirit wants to be in our midst. If we harbor aught against one another, if we harbor aught against circumstances and situations, or if we have just become spiritually lazy and just sit down. Hey man, there's no accident that we're here at 1715 Highway 68. God didn't make a mistake when he placed us here. And he's given us opportunity. Let's take it. Yes, the people around you are weird, but all of us are. That's what makes us right. It's what makes us work together. I need those people in my life. I need those note takers, because I'm not. I need those organizers, because I'm not. I can dream big for you, and somebody will say, how are we going to get there? And I'm going to be like, and then somebody says, oh, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And it works. Because that's why God brought you here. I am excited about what God's got in store for us. Even today, some of the things I've even seen today are cool. I love it. So my question to you is this. What decision do you need to make today? Have you trusted Christ? Let us know. We got a baptistry. And we'll make sure you understand why you're doing what you're doing. Have you been drawn closer to the Lord? Have you been reprimanded by the Lord? That's the boat I'm usually in. I usually wind up getting my backside kicked because that's usually what you're hearing from up there is what's just generally happened to me because I don't know a whole lot of other ways. So there you go. What is it that the Lord is saying to you? What has he got in store for you? If you're breathing, it's not over yet. He's not done with you. Not time to sit down. It's not time to retire. It's time to put the hammer down and enjoy all the fun that is serving Jesus and doing it together. Let's put on that armor and let's get in the fight. Let's get in the battle. Because you're going to get hit. I used to get run over in football and you'd be sitting there looking out the ear hole, your helmet and everything else. But when I finally got my helmet on straight, one of my guys was there picking me up. And went, all right, good job, man, good job. You took that guy out of the way. I'm like, okay. Let's do it together. Can you make that commitment today? It'll be another mark of your spiritual maturity. But not just for today. Live it out. Purpose to do what God has told you to do. Whatever that may be, listen, if you need me, I'm here. This altar is here. Whatever God is leading you at this moment, make sure that you address the Spirit's movement in your life today. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn number 275, I Surrender All.
Yeah.
business with him. Here's my question. What did he say to you today? Remember, the word does not return void. He has said something in your life. He has addressed some issue. He's maybe encouraged you. Whatever it may be, the question is, have you taken action on it? Have you acknowledged what the Lord has said to you today? Will you do that? Please make sure that you don't miss the encounter with him today. As our musicians continue to play, I'm simply going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. We are so blessed that you have given us so much. Lord, you have given us food on our table and shoes on our feet and resources more than even we deserve. But Father, help us to be faithful to give back to you that which you have asked, that you might in turn bless us and bless us indeed. Lord, we're not preaching prosperity theology by any stretch of the imagination, but faithfulness to give. Lord, may your word continue to go forward because of what takes place right here at this moment as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just give you a couple things, get you out of here real quick. Those that are having birthdays coming up this week, our very own Sandra Enivers is actually today, and our very own Marsha Wall has one coming up on Wednesday. So, like I say, Marsha takes cash only, right? Cash only for Marsha. She don't like that credit card thing, so just give her cash. That'll work for her. Anyway, we love those guys. Be sure to let them know how much you love them and that you're going to be praying for them on their birthday. And as far as anniversaries, one big anniversary this week. On Thursday, Roger and Don Marie Howerton will be celebrating an anniversary. Which one's this going to be, Roger? 70 years married. Wow, that is a blessing, I'm telling you. That's not just a blessing, it's an example to each and every one of us. So thank you for setting that example for us in marriage. 70-year anniversary. That is so cool. So be praying for Roger and Don Ree this coming Thursday as they celebrate 70 years together. Now, just a few other things. And I'll tell you one thing that vacation does. I guess if you don't use your eyes, you lose them. Now I can't see hardly anything. You like my vacation hair? How many of y'all notice my cow lick every Sunday? I always pick at Tammy Bowman because her mother would try to fix that. And it was funny because I said, there is not mama's spit on this planet that will fix that. I don't know why it is, but you just have to get used to it. Some people said it was covering up my horns. But at any rate, we'll just go ahead and take that off the table. Laugh at me every Sunday. Get it out of your system because I promise it's there. All right, a couple things we got going on this week. We do not have our men's small group D-Life classes until after Labor Day because everybody's in and out for the summer. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock Bible study, classroom 5, right? Now, that's up on this end. That's first one on the left after you go up the steps and through the glass door. Second one, okay? Follow the voices. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Pastor David will be doing Bible study back there. Choir practice is still on summer break. Are y'all having band rehearsal tonight?
No, not until August.
Not until August, okay? So the band won't, they're on summer break now too. So after the 4th of July celebration, they're going to take a little bit of a break through the summer. Wednesday, don't forget every Wednesday, 10 a.m., the men's fellowship breakfast at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. No agenda, guys. Just show up, have a good time of fellowship together. And then, as we've been mentioning, every other Tuesday, there's a Bible study at Roger and Don Ree's from 12 to 1. This coming week is your next one, right? No. On hold or week after? Or okay, summer schedule. I got you. So we'll let you know more about that when it starts back up. Ladies' breakfast, 9 a.m. On the 7th, at August the 7th at Cagney's. Correct, right? If it's not, we'll correct it later. But I'm showing 8-7 Cagney's on Friendly at 9 a.m. On August the 7th. And then also the Ladies' Connection monthly meeting at 6 p.m. on the 7th in FLC 116. So don't forget, school, Revolution Upper School will be starting here on the 14th of next month, 14th of August. And so there's going to be a lot going on between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. around here. And then there's the 2024 Women's Retreat that's going to be October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. Do you have spots? Got two spots available. You see Marsha with the peace sign back there? The two slots, she's saying you got two. If you need to go, see her today with money in hand. She won't take a credit card for that. You got to have cash for that or a check. Anyway, see Marcia. She'll get you squared away on that. It's always a good time when those ladies go down there. I don't know. I've heard. I haven't been spying on them or anything. But just remember, there's a lot of things that are taking place, a lot of things that are going on. One of those things in particular, Vacation Bible School, is going to be coming up July the 21st through the 25th. I think the time on that has changed, but I'm going to say 5:30 to 7:30. If it's any different, I will let you know as we go forward. But right now, 5:30 to 7:30, there is a light meal to start it with, and then the kids will break out from there. So VBS, 5:30 to 7:30, July 21 through 25. And there was something else I was getting ready to mention, and I can't remember what it was. Anyhow, it's always rough coming back from vacation. You know how it goes. But Pastor David will fill you in because he knows a lot that's going on, a lot of things that are taking place. And like I said, there's a lot going to be going on. So if you need a room or something, or you need to secure a place to have a meeting, please let us know because there's going to be a ton of things that are happening, particularly as we enter into the fall. Guys, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to get away and take a break. We love you. We appreciate you and appreciate all you do for us.
We had 39 people who signed up and showed up. That's a great representation. Look around how many people here and realize that 39 of us were there. And I want to thank you for doing that. And we're going to find a formal way to do that. We're having a luncheon here for those who served at Camp Carefree Thursday at noon. We're going to ask you to sign up one more time. And that's the day to sign up for this meal. Okay? Get your name on that list. If you have a spouse where you came and your spouse could not come for work or for whatever reason, We want that spouse to come with you to lunch. We just need for you to sign up, please, so we know how much food to purchase and to prepare. I promise you, you're going to have enough to eat, and this time you're not going to have to cook it, okay? You can just show up and eat. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, it's a privilege always to be here to experience your presence together as the family of God. Lord, as we go from this place today, we pray that you will bless us and use us and help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it.